will look at the scripture continually until Advent, these verses, we'll just keep moving along. And then one of the things that we'll see next week is how Elizabeth proclaimed from the Lord how Mary was blessed because she believed. But the process of coming to the place of believing, even in Mary's life, wasn't perfect. One of the things I'm really, when I read this story and I think about the price that Mary paid as this 17 or 18-year-old girl probably, that her future marriage may be at stake, that how would Joseph believe a story like this? It didn't. There was no explanation in this declaration from Gabriel that, hey, look, don't worry about Joseph. Though it says in the scripture that she was engaged to a man named Joseph in the house of David. But he never says to her specifically, look, I got your back. Joseph is going to be fine. Because Joseph initially wasn't fine at all. And even though she had been preparing for this wedding probably most of her life, it was all at stake. All of her plans, her future, the person that she loved. And again, as we mentioned before, her reputation. She lived the rest of her life under the shadow of a scandal. Very few people believed that she had gotten pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So by her neighbors and others, she had to live with all that. And the thing that encourages me about Mary is that she never asked why. Lord, why would you put me in a situation like this where I would have to pay such a price? Now, I believe that she was troubled, because he says that. She was really troubled, greatly troubled by this statement, highly favored when the Lord is with you. But she never came out with the word why, which reveals to us that Mary had, even at a young age, lived a life of radical surrender. Her heart was postured for something that God wanted to do. Whenever the statement is made in the scriptures, the Lord is with you, that doesn't mean that he's walking now beside you. It just means every place you see that in scripture, it just means that God's about to demonstrate his power in your life and do some things you could never do and could be explained in no other way except for God. So every time you see that phrase, you'll see that then God does something powerful. The Lord's with you, then he just does something extraordinary. But where Mary did slip up a little bit is that last little bit that Rackin read from verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? Verse 35 says, the angel then answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. Now, the Lord, and we'll see this verse again more next week, but the Lord wasn't like the Lord said, okay, we're going to have a biological a class in biology right now. I'm going to explain to you how this is possibly could happen. He didn't. He didn't tell her. He just said, God's going to do this thing. Well, I don't know about you, but if I find myself in a place where I'm supposed to trust the Lord, and the big question isn't why, I'm like, going, but I don't know how you're going to do this. And then God just says, well, I'm just going to do it. Well, that didn't help much. I really want an explanation. And I find that happens with a lot of us, is that we often find ourselves in circumstances, and our hearts aren't rebellious. We want to do God's will, but we want to figure out how he's going to do it, because then we can trust him. And God's wanting us to trust him even though we don't know how. So that can be one of the trickiest things that keep us from walking in faith. Okay, how are you going to do this, God? Okay, you say you're going to do it, but I'm trying to figure out how you're going to do this. And so we're walking then in human reason, because God's not obligated to tell you how he's going to do it. I mean, there are occasions when God does do that. And the truth is, you really don't want to ask him that question most of the time, or all the time. You don't want him to tell you how he's going to do it. Because you're liable to say, I'm not really sure I want you to do it that way. Just be content that God says, look, I'm going to overshadow you, the Holy Spirit. It's going to be for me. I'm going to do it. I'm with you. I'm going to do this. But it's the hows that get us in trouble. And we can fret ourselves to death, almost, trying to figure out how God's going to do something. When God wants us to rest our head on the breast of Jesus, on the heart of Christ, and trust that he knows what he's doing, and he knows how he's going to do it, and we don't need to get caught up and waste time on the hows. If you've been around long enough, you've heard me talk about this. This is Psalm 37, verse 5. I'll just start verse 4. It says, we'll start in verse 3. This whole thing is good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. So whatever thing you might find yourself in, he says, trust in me. Commit this thing to me. Just commit it to me. Okay, Lord, it's yours. And then trust me, and I'll do it. He didn't say, and I'll do it and explain to you how I'm going to do it all along so it'll be easier for you to trust me. He just says, trust him, and he'll do it. Now, you know the enemies, even though they were real enemies in the Old Testament, but they also represented spiritual enemies that we deal with as New Testament believers, but they were the Jebusites, and they were the Canaanites, and they were Girgashites. Well, I've discovered in my Christian life that it's the Ittites that get me in trouble most of the time. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Don't get hung up and get defeated by the Ittites. Go, God, explain to me how you're going to do it. I'm glad you're going to do it, but I can't really trust you unless I can see and know how you're going to do it. Again, he's trying to teach us how to live by faith. Because the more we can live resting our head on the breast of Jesus, the more we can live leaning on our beloved, even when we're in the wilderness, especially there, the more he expands our capacity to walk in other things, an expanded version of his purposes. A faith that can't be tested, can't be trusted. And the New Testament talks about him testing our faith so that he can trust us to believe him for other things. We may not know how he's going to do it in the future. I think we referenced this story the other day, but I think again in 1 Kings 17. You know, after Elijah declares it's not going to rain, it's going to be a drought for 3.5 years because Israel was in rebellion and God was wanting to bring them to repentance. And it says he goes and lives by the brook Cherith, and every day the ravens come to him twice a day and give him bread to eat while he drinks from the brook Cherith. Now, he had prayed now and declared prophetically it's going to be a drought, and he's living by a brook, and God's supernaturally providing for him every day. But you know what happens when a drought happens? The brooks, they dry up. And after a period of time, the brook dried up. And he didn't know what was God going to do. And God said to go to Zarephath, and there was going to be a woman there waiting for him, and that she had been commanded by God to provide for him. So he gets up, doesn't know who the woman is, doesn't know how to find her. God didn't tell him how he was going to do it. He just went and showed up. And I guess he expects to find some woman who comes to him and says, are you Elijah? God has told me, he's commanded me to provide for you, and I've got plenty. Now, everybody's experiencing drought and famine. But he didn't know. This woman's at the gate, and he walks up to her, and he sees this woman gathering up sticks and says, God shows him that's the woman. It's a Gentile. I mean, God is something. And he feeds him with ravens, which are unclean. Now he's going to take care of him through this rich Gentile woman who's unclean because she's Gentile. And then when he asks her, he discovers that she's gathering up sticks to build a fire to cook one more meal before she and her son die, because that's the last they have. And she didn't seem to have a clue that God had commanded her to take care of him. Aren't you glad that Elijah wasn't hung up in the Ittites? At some point, he would have given up and gone back to the brook and just died there. God said, I've commanded this woman, a Gentile, and she doesn't have a clue that he's commanded her, and she's too poor to feed herself and her son, much less him. He just went because God said to go. Don't get hung up on the Ittites. Don't ask why God's doing what he's doing in your life. And don't ask how. Just walk in faith and trust him in childlike faith. And let God be God and be as creative as he wants to be. He's a multitasker. And there's more at stake in what you're going through than just you. There's more people at stake than just you. Just trust him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.